unfortunately, I had a technical problem that I can't overcome this morning, unfortunately. We're hoping to have Treasurer Michael Frerichs and Representative Rob Martwick, but Rob drew the short straw this morning. Rob, how are you?
I'm doing very well, thank you. Thanks for having me.
And the reason why we wanted the Treasurer to be able to join us this morning was because the Treasurer had been a long slog on this, and now, in the veto session, look at the Governor and his veto. Now, this legislation, the idea was if you paid your insurance premiums and it's time for that insurance premium, you know, somebody's passed away and that to be paid off, that it gets done. Now, the governor, my understanding, vetoed this because he thought the law was an overreach.
Yeah, that's what he says. I'm not really sure how he comes up with that. That's his opinion. And you know, think about what you just said there, right? We're trying to make insurance companies pay benefits to widows and orphans when the policyholder dies. And when I say that to people, everyone says, isn't that the law already? It's so people are sort of shocked to find out that the law in Illinois allowed a situation where insurance companies, unless the beneficiaries proactively come forward, they could hang on to that money for decades. And so that's what this is trying to change. Now, the governor has said that this is an overreach because we are going back in time to find money that has been held wrongly by the insurance companies. But to that point, the insurance companies that already have sold 70% of the policies in Illinois have done this voluntarily. So the vast majority of companies have done this. They've allowed the treasurer to go in and check their records back to 1992, find millions and millions of dollars and return it to Illinois residents where it belongs. And again, voluntarily. So now we're saying we want to go back to 2000 for these holdouts that people won't do it, the insurance companies won't do it voluntarily, and the governor says that that's an overreach.
All right, because, see, I mean, this actually, knowing a few insurance agents over the years, including some members of my family, they've always kind of considered this, and maybe this is hyperbole, I'd like to think it's not, kind of like a sacred responsibility from many insurance agents that I've known over the time, that they know those families needed that money and that they were there, you know, as quickly as they could with the check. But now we see a bigger, I think maybe the people I'm talking about is that small hometown life insurance agent type of feel. But when you get out there in the corporate world and there's a lot of numbers, you can get lost. The one thing that I had never heard of until this discussion was the Universal Death Registry.
Yeah, it's the Death Master File, the DMF, that the Social Security publishes. And, you know, this is the wonderful part of this electronic world that we live in, is this information is readily accessible. So, sure, back in the 30s and 40s and 50s, when you're keeping paper records, well, it was important for the beneficiaries to know what was going on and come forward. But, again, what we have here is we've got a lot of people who didn't know they were beneficiaries of policies, and insurance companies, all they have to do is do a records check to find out that the policyholder died and get the money forward, and they don't do it. And not only that, there was a 60 Minutes expose on this where insurance commissioners in certain states found that they would use the Death Master File, the insurance company would use the Death Master File to terminate benefits under like an annuity. But for the same person, they wouldn't let the beneficiary have the proceeds of the life insurance policy. So insurance companies already use this. It's not terribly new, and it makes their records easy. This is the right thing to do. I think what you're saying is very true, right? These small-town agents, this is what they wanted to do, and in fact, that's what they sold people. They came to their house and said, if something happens to you, we will be there for you. Well, what happens when the insurance agent himself retires or dies or whatever, and so now you're relying on the company to follow up on that. And so, like you said, a lot of companies did the right thing in the agencies that you're talking about, where they proactively found those people, but we found that there are some bad actors in Illinois holding an awful lot of money, and this legislation is designed to bring them into the fold and make sure that they get that money to the people that have it coming.
You know, I kind of were joined this morning by State Representative Rob Martwick. Now, here's the thing, Representative, When you think about this, your first comment that isn't it the law already? You do. You've had a contract. You've signed. You've paid your premiums. You know, whenever there's a contract is enforced, when there's exchange of goods, money, monetary. I mean, that's the binding element of the contract. And then you think they say no. They say no. They say no again, because part of the no, no, no aspect is that we get to keep your longer and make keep your money and make money with it longer. So there's a delay aspect to this. And then there's just a straight no pay. I mean, do we have an idea of how much we're talking about in the state of Illinois?
We won't know exactly until we get out there and get it. But the treasurer, and I want to say that we have found somewhere in the vicinity of, I believe the number is $500 million through the audits have been returned to Illinois residents. And so this is a lot of money. Now, the vast majority of it is smaller policy amounts, but you make a great point when you talk about that. When we did hearings on this over the summer about these lapsed policies, there was a woman who had adopted two boys whose mother had died. Well, that woman who had died had bought a life insurance policy for her two young sons. Well, they didn't know about it. And the woman who adopted them didn't know about it, and she cared for these kids. And recently, the treasurer found that this life insurance policy was out there. And what she gave up, so she got the face value of the policy, and it was not a big policy, but it was enough to help the kids with their college and stuff. But the interest accumulation, and she said that if she would have got that money when they were small, she would have put it into a savings account for the benefit of those boys. And the interest accumulation that she lost was in the hundreds of thousands of dollars. I believe, my memory serves me, it was about $330,000 of interest. Wow. That the insurance company got to keep, and instead she got a $50,000 policy benefit. And that's what we're trying to – we can't do anything about that anymore, but the sooner we can get money to the people that have it coming, the sooner that they can get the benefits of that money, not the insurance company.
All right, what's it stacking up now? Like, what's next? And especially when it comes to the vote count, what are you looking at here when the prospect of seeing this become law in the state of Illinois and be able to open these books to be able to get this money paid to Illinois residents?
Well, the veto override vote will occur today. I plan on having the bill called today and put it on the floor for a vote in the House. And I feel good. We passed it with 67 votes, which means we need to pick up 4 votes on the governor's override. And, you know, I think that the error that the governor made here was that his veto, his amendment to this bill, right? He didn't outright veto it. He amended the bill. But what he did just completely took all the teeth out of the bill and would make any enforcement, any at all, impossible. And I think that my colleagues who did not vote for this the first time around, when they start to realize that with the governor's veto, it basically sends the message that we prefer that insurance companies get to keep money that should have gone to widows and orphans. When they realize that that is what they're faced with, I feel very confident that we're going to pick up the 4 votes we need to override this veto and make this become law.
It's interesting, Rob. While you're talking, I'm hearing Don Henley sing. I'm a big fan of Don Henley, especially as far as the lyric is. In one of his songs, he talks about how a man with a briefcase can always rob more people than a man with a gun.
Yep.
And it's odd how that little lyric popped up, because we're talking huge sums of money. And, you know, maybe robbery's an overstatement, but I probably would take the time to argue that if I had it. You know, semantics.
Yeah. You know, It's the beauty of, as you said, you know, complex legal language, which when the insurance agent was sitting at your table, as you know, what he says is, if something happens to you, we'll be there. They don't say, if you die and your beneficiaries don't come forward, we're going to hang on to that money as long as we can. They don't say that when they're signing up people for the policy. And again, that's what this law is designed to do, this bill is designed to do, is to make insurance companies comply with the promise that they made when they sold the policy to be there for the family.
Illinois State Representative Rob Martwick. Rob, can you hold tight for a second, please?
Absolutely.
7:33. Hey, by the way, anything else going on in Springfield today? We're still on the air live, by the way, so just in case an outburst.
I imagine that there will be a lot of veto override votes today and tomorrow, because all bills that originated in the House have to be voted on before the 27th, so we could see a override vote on the Debt Transparency Act, which the governor vetoes as well, which requires state agencies to report to the comptroller the amounts of debts that they're holding, so the backlog of bills that they're holding, so that we know exactly what we owe and to who. And I think that's an important bill for Illinois. But there will be a lot of votes today.
And what about a review of the governor's $370 million in cuts? Is that included in the next couple of days?
Well, we're always reviewing that. What we will do on it, of course, he has the authority under the budget to, under Illinois law, to scale back the spending to the amounts that he wants, and so he's acting within his authority. But they are tough cuts to stomach, that's for sure.